Since 1899, Farmers Bank and Trust Company has been on the same street corner in downtown Marion. While technology has sure changed the way they do banking over the past 122 years, Farmers Bank has never forgotten its roots. They're rocket proud and ready to serve you today, whether it's at one of their lobbies or through mobile banking. You can trust that Farmers Bank is there to serve you. All right, Rocket football fans, we're here with Coach Courtney on Monday after a victory on Friday night. Coach Courtney, it sure makes these podcasts a whole lot easier when you guys win, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels a lot better. The weekend, everything's just a little bit better if you win. You don't have that long week to think about, you know, the loss. So, yeah, wins are definitely better, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you guys get in here, work all weekend, I know, breaking down film and watching it. What? So you've got a little more insight now. Sometimes it's tough to know. It's a hard view, really, from the sideline as a coach. I know.
That's right.
And that's, of course, traditionally why you got some coaches up top, up there on the press box, and it gives you a little bird's eye view of it. But after you've gone back and looked at the film, I know this has got to look pretty good, a 27-14 win over a top 10 team.
Yeah, there were a lot of things that looked good. Our effort and fight was there all night. There's still some things that we need to clean up on offense and defense. But overall, yeah, was pleased with the film. It was pretty much what I thought. Thought the guys did a really good job executing the adjustments that we made, which was really big, I felt like, at halftime. Them being able to execute things that we just kind of throw at them at the last second when things aren't necessarily working. And they did a great job executing. I'm not sure that our adjustments wouldn't execute better than what we worked on all week. So I was proud of them for that.
Well, you're fortunate to have a team that's able to do that. I know you. That some of the teams that you played on, I remember Coach Starnes could go out there. I always told him it was like he had a stick and he would draw up a play in the dirt sometime, and it would work.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, if you have the group of guys, I mean, that's a big deal to be able to make changes on the fly. Some groups can't do it. This group can, and it's a huge advantage to be able to make in-game adjustments. Some groups you got to just stick with whatever you went over, because if you try to change something, it'll really mess them up. But you can holler things at them on the field, and they pretty well can execute them, you know, right then and there. So that's one of our strengths, I think, for sure, is just – I guess it's intelligence. I don't know. Experience. I don't know exactly what you call it. But being able to make adjustments and then being able to execute them is definitely something I think we do well.
Well, that's important, because when what you're doing is not working, you have to do something different, don't you?
Right. Yeah.
And talk a little bit about that. Early on, you really stopped Hancock's running game. And then the second quarter, it was like, hey, they made a couple little changes and were able to run the ball. But then you got them stopped and again in the second half, because the big guy Willis, I think he had 95 yards at the half and had 37 more in the second half. So you really got him shut down.
Yeah, I thought I can talk about it because obviously they had it figured out, but they had ran strong, their strong side, into one player like 95% of the time. Mm-hmm. And we stacked the defense over there, and in the first quarter they stuck with it pretty well. Then they figured out what we were doing and started going away from their tendency almost every play, and it was really gashing us. And it wasn't that we were playing bad, it was that I had us in the wrong spots in the second quarter. We had just adjusted to what they'd done, and they started doing something different. So there at halftime, we had to come up and play a little bit more straight up and bring more guys into the box, more or less play our goal line defense. And they executed really well. So that was what happened.
Well, the first quarter, Hancock County did not have a first down. And then they started moving the chains there in the second quarter, got a couple of TDs and made a game of it. But then your guys, in the second half, just owned it.
Yeah, I thought so. I was proud of the way, because I was a little bit nervous, honestly. When that call, I felt like, went against us there on the fumble on the goal line, and then they scored going right into the half. It felt like, you know, we jumped out 14-0, and it didn't even feel like it was going to be a game. And then they come out 14-0 and had all the momentum. I was a little worried how we'd respond, you know, and they were getting the ball coming out of half. And I was super proud of us coming out and getting a stop and driving it right down and scoring. Mm-hmm. And we're able to control the game, put first downs together at the end of the game to finish them off and continue to get stops. You know, second half was pretty dominant, I felt like, and I was super proud that we answered the adversity, because our backs were against the wall a little bit. You could feel it in the stadium. And I know I felt it. I was worried if they came out and scored out of half that it might not be good for us, and we came up and got a stop.
Well, the only two guys we couldn't stop that they had was the clock keeper and the side judge with the whistle that he blew early twice.
Yeah, they had some unfortunate things. They did apologize after the game, but Yeah, I don't know. Refs make mistakes.
They do. They're
coaches
human.
Make mistakes. So at least they apologize after the game. I don't know.
Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah. Well, yeah. What do you do? I try. We're at a point in football that refs are really short, and obviously COVID doesn't help. But before that, it was bad. Before that, people don't want that job. They don't want to be cussed out and talked down to on the sidelines and all those things. So try to be as nice. There's still people out there, and as good as we can be, to officials. Mm-hmm. That's a point that we want. We don't want to be that team. But at the same time, you got to fight for your guys. It's a tough place to be in when you feel like, they've missed some pretty big ones. But, I don't know. But it doesn't really help is the answer. It didn't help anything.
The inadvertent whistles particularly. Yeah. I mean, what do you do?
It's
too late.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when you have one, it's like you got to fumble. Okay, well, they caught him down, and it was a one-yard gain going about to be fourth down. Yeah. And then, they get to replay the down, and you don't get the ball. Mm-hmm. So it's like a double whammy. It gets you pretty bad. But, hey, those things happen. And coming out on the winning side of it now, it's a good thing that we had adversity, because we might not have had that adversity. We saw we were made up a little bit. So at the end of the day, it ended up being a good thing for us, I think. It's just at the time, you don't know that.
Well, let's talk about your players, the game coach. Really on defense, probably a pretty difficult decision this week.
There really was. Production was all over the place. Briley Berry made a lot of plays. Case Gobin. I thought Sammy Impostato played extremely, extremely well. I'm not sure what his stat line was, but especially down there and especially at nose guard.
Five solos, five assists.
Is that what Sammy had?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played a great game. And honestly, his numbers are the way he played is better than those numbers, honestly. He won his the play every time against that center, and I thought he did a great job. But it came down to Dylan Yates, and it didn't come down to production. Other people had probably more tackles. I'm not sure exactly the stat line. But he took over that game in the late third and fourth quarter. I just felt it. He made three or four plays in a row. We get an interception that was because of him. McGahan comes up with it, but it's his pressure and hitting the quarterback that makes it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those things didn't show up. But man, I just felt like especially late third, fourth quarter, he just absolutely took over that game. So he's the one that stood out. And he's saying the right things. He's keeping us going. He's, it's a tight game, and we need energy. And whenever other guys maybe have their hands on their hips, he's screaming at, let's go, it's our time, they're about to quit. Just the things that you want to hear your leader doing. I just feel like he kept us going and played a great game. And he's played well all the way through. It's just, other guys have been playing better at times.
Six solos, six assists, a tackle for loss, and a sack.
Pretty good night.
Pretty good stat line for him. Yeah. And again, like you said, second half, he's one of those guys that you hate to use a cliche, but won't be denied. He just wills it to happen sometime. Right. And it's amazing how he can get to the ball, because he's getting all the attention from the blockers.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just mentality. Yeah. That really is what it comes down to. He cares about it, and he won't be denied, just like you said. Mm-hmm. And that's it. There is no other answer to it. That's just what's going to happen. And he's made up his mind well before that game. So, he's put in the work to be great. He's been great, and it was a good night for him.
So your lineman of the week this week's Tucker Sharp. Talk a little bit about his play.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row, he's really coming along. Had a couple roaches. Just assignment football. He was responsible a lot of times for getting a hat on 34, and he did that, which was their middle linebacker. Coach Brown felt like that he earned it, and he felt like a lot of guys up front played well. Obviously, we were able to get the rushing game going. I thought we protected well. Our offensive line's been good all the way through, I think. Even against Madisonville, when we, maybe didn't look as good as a team, I thought our offensive line's played well every game, and as a group continued to. Even with guys going out, we have injuries. We have this guy
Counts didn't play
Counts
this week.
Counts is out. Yeah. Cooksey gets hurt in the game. We got McGahan in there some. We got Coleman Stone, reserves. We got Deacon Hallman, who wasn't a starter at one point. I mean, just all of them. They all step up and have played well. So no matter who's in there, the line I feel like has been solid. Hats off to Coach Brown and those guys. They've been doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. On the offensive side of the ball, I think it was a no-brainer there. You couldn't overlook the play of Preston Morgeson.
No, I can't say enough about just how tough and well he saw the field and ran hard. I don't know how many broken tackles he had, but things sure looked a lot better, when he can make two or three guys miss. he hadn't played running back since I don't know when. Probably middle school, I guess. He probably played some.
Yeah, he had had 6 carries this year for 6 yards.
6 carries, 6 yards. And those were probably Jets, I'm guessing, you know, where the – or some,
it was probably the Jets where he actually took the handoff.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of, you know, yeah. I watch and make sure it's a handoff or the toss on the shovel pass.
Right.
But, he just hadn't had that many touches, certainly back there, and then it's harder to get him the ball when he's a receiver. But more than 200 yards, more than 200 all-purpose yards this week. And, of course, that included 27 carries for 192 yards rushing. And he's not a big guy, but, man, he can dance around in there and find the hole, can he?
Yeah, he can. His vision was great. For somebody, like I said, that we just put back there and had many reps back there, for the way he can see things, and he's only going to get better. You know, the turnover that he had, I felt like was him just not understanding exactly that the pursuit was coming, and that was probably the only negative thing that I saw all night out of him at running back to the fumble the football one time. But it was just him effort. He was trying to make more guys miss, just trying to make more, you know, more yardage happen, and just happened to cough up the ball. So it's dangerous. And obviously he's a great receiver back there too. So, you know, I think people have to prepare for us a little bit different when you're talking about taking him out of the game.
You know, he's one of those guys that's just so talented. I believe you could hand him a violin, he'd figure out how to play it, you know.
Probably so, yeah. He can do anything. Punted the ball extremely well again. I mean,
punted incredibly well.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
That punt at the end of the game, kind of maybe when you flip the field a little bit on him, he punted down to the 4 or 6, yeah, somewhere way down there.
Yeah, and
I thought that was big in the game.
Yeah, and I know we're talking offense, but the special teams was huge all game long. I thought we had them pinned down. We won the field position all night. I don't know how many times they got past the 50, but when they did, it was because they drove it. They wasn't starting anywhere close to there. It didn't seem like, except maybe one time, one kickoff, we had a short kickoff.
But. And you know as well as I do, when you're a run-oriented football team, man, I tell you what, when you got to go 75 yards, that's pretty tough to keep moving the chains.
One mistake, one penalty, which they didn't have a lot
of. One third down.
One negative play, it just changes the whole game. Field position's so huge, it's something that can be overlooked. But, you know, that was a big part of our win, I thought. They put some drives together, I mean. Yeah. And then when they did score, they had to drive the length of the field. I know once. I don't remember, honestly, how long the second drive was, but.
It was pretty long. One was pretty long. I don't have my sheet with me, but it seems like they started around the 20. It's talked about special teams. Tanner Beverly was the human missile out there, wasn't he? And I know he probably feels like he has some things to prove. And gosh, of course, this is his first year to play since he was in middle school. And he he was getting downfield, coach.
Yeah, it was awesome to see. It was awesome to see. Like you said, and I don't think that he'll mind me telling this, but he'd been in the defensive rotation and was playing well, and then there was one game against Massabill he didn't tackle particularly well and kind of got out of the rotation. And I think he wanted to kind of prove to me and to everybody that, hey, I can tackle, and I'm going to show you here on the reps I get. You know, it's just good to see kids do that, to respond, not to, you know, be a victim or, you know, put their heads down, but just go out there and respond and make the best of it, and then maybe get back in there. He definitely opened my eyes to of what he can do, and you know, the bad games happen, and he proved to me that he probably can still be out there, you know. So I was just happy for him. Any time a kid can bounce back when they particularly wasn't maybe doing something well one game and come back and do it well, you know, it's good to see, really good to see. So just really, really proud of him.
I don't know when we're going to play a finesse team, but it seems like we get these big bruisers every week.
Oh, I know, and that's what I was talking to. I think Coach Brown this morning, I was saying, we're not even going to know how to play against the spread, because you think Colorado would have been a spread, but they were double-tied all night. I mean, we haven't really played a spread team. What we're built for, kind of the defense is kind of made around, everyone was spread, and now we got all wing tees and options, and we'll get some spread, I guess, coming up, but really they want to run the ball in the eye at you too. So,
yeah, Union County. Big upset, I think, last week. I don't know. Caldwell's just a team that finds a way to win, but they went over and beat Union. Or, no, excuse me, it was at Princeton, so maybe not as big an upset as we think. But Union County was ranked number 3 in the state, and Caldwell's unranked for the third or fourth week in a row. So.
Yeah. I think they're both good football teams. I mean, Caldwell kind of figuring it out, but – you know, they're a team you can't ever count out. They're going to make plays. They're going to do things right. They're going to not make many mistakes. And if you make mistakes, and I think Union turned the ball over a lot in that game, and And I think Caldwell's a team that you can't do that against and expect to win.
I think Caldwell turned it over quite a bit, too.
They did.
And overcame it.
Yeah. They did. One was really late, and the game was over. But Union County had a pick six pretty early and was driving and stopped their drives and score. You know, yes, Caldwell did turn the ball over, too. But they were up a little bit once they started to happen. But Union County's still a good team. I think Caldwell's a good team. They just might not be as pretty, I guess, for lack of a better word. They don't jump off the screen at you, the athletes that they've had, but they're really solid up front, and they just do their job across the board. I still think they're a really good football team. But Union County is, too. We're definitely not a team that, you know, we want to take lightly coming forward.
Yeah, they got the big CSP train in the backfield. Yeah. Chris Hughes out there wide. Yeah. Quarterback's a great player. We'll talk about them on the show on Thursday, but they're a good football team. I know you guys got to get ready to go over and win that game. Coach, how many times have we played at Union County without playing them here?
This is at least the third year in a row, right?
Is it third?
Third year in a row, okay. Yeah. Because we had them – see, we were away 3 years ago like we were supposed to be. Then we were supposed to have them home last year, and then it was a COVID cancellation at some point, and they had a home game, and we had a – away game, so we just filled it with that game to hope that we could pick one up later. And then new contract, we have them away again, so supposed to be home next year unless nothing crazy happens. But yeah, this will be three in a row.
Yeah, I guess it was 3 years ago. I remember that game we just kind of blew them away over here.
We just Hunter Boone senior year, I believe,
yeah, kind of smoked them, which we seldom smoke Union County.
No. But been back and forth, it seems.
Yeah, honestly. it's a rivalry. Always has been. Always has been a well played football game, a hard fought football game for sure. So excited about that game over there, and excited for what the way your guys played this week. So you evened up at 2-2, and you've got a couple more non-district games, I think, before three now, because we've added Trigg County on October the 8th. So still getting ready for that district. Of course, we just have a three-team district this year without Caverna.
Uh-huh.
So really Fulton and Russellville is our only district games. And I know you're still looking for a game the last week of the season. So you know, a little advertisement here. Any coaches out there happen to be listening?
Yep. Last week 11, we still need one. We'd like to get back to 10.
Yeah, that's what, October
29th.
Okay. Yeah, the Halloween game. Coach Courtney, just, gosh, can't say enough about the way the kids played. Anybody else you want to talk about this week?
Really, it was just a team effort. Could talk to about all of them, really, that were out there. I just thought it was a good team game, and that's what it's going to take for us to, you know, continue to win football games. It's going to be a team effort each and every week, you know. Special teams, offense, defense, and all groups involved. So we just got to continue to do that. Just hope that we continue to get better this week and not satisfied. You know, with those losses, we hate them, but they do make you get better. You know, they're glaring. Everyone's hungry. We just got to stay hungry because there's still a lot of things to fix. And I think we'll have to play better this week to get a win than we did last week. Mm-hmm. So we just got to continue to get better. But, yeah, the kids are great. It's a great group of kids. They care about each other. I really think that. They're excited for one another. And when a group cares about each other, you know, they'll figure it out. They'll find ways to play for each other and make things happen. They'll do their job. So great group to coach. Just proud of them. We just got to continue moving forward, though.
Well, we came out of this with maybe some – bumps and bruises, and I think Seth Guest maybe had something wrong with his thumb, and some other guys were banged up a little bit, but nothing major that I know of.
Not that I know of, no. I mean, we're still waiting on counts. Obviously, he was out the week before, so I don't know if he'll be back. Still verdict still out on.
I think he was going to the orthopedic this week.
Supposed to. He went today, and then he has to go back, so we don't know yet. Still don't know. And Seth Guest, I hadn't heard anything about his hands. And besides that, we got some bruises and bumps, and I'm sure we're sore. It's a physical game again. But I don't think anything that should keep anybody out.
Yeah. All right, Coach Courtney. Well, we'll talk to you later in the week and get ready for Union County.
All right.